inspired by poetry.
Let's give it some lip.
Ta-da.
All right. Well, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. I am excited.
I think you might be. The last time we were chatting, we talked about Ogden Nashwin, and we looked at the short poems, and I could just tell by the gleam in your eye that it was time to do a deep dive.
Yes.
Into one Ogden Nash.
Yes, I have gotten a Christmas present. This is my gift.
Yay.
This is my gift.
This is it. This is it. Oh, very good. So, well, what do you like so much about Ogden Nash?
So, as I've probably said before, poetry, then comedians.
Yes.
And it's the way they look at the world that is just very exciting for me, because they give meaning to sometimes what I consider just meaningless things, right? They have an observation, they look at something, and with a sense of clarity, they talk about it.
They use like witticisms.
They do. But it's done it in such a lighthearted way that you really should not be offended. Take it for what it was intended. It's making, you know,
making light.
Light out of what could be really big issues. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that laughing, but I think it gives us a sense of that maybe we shouldn't always take ourselves so seriously.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to see what type of humor Ogden Nash is bringing to us. And you chose these poems since Ogden is your favorite.
I did.
So let's have a peek.
Yes.
I'm going to do some of the shorter ones.
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. I'll just start with the one called The Cow. Two lines. The cow is of the bovine ilk. One end is moo, the other milk.
If only he knew what methane production was for cows today, it might sound different, right?
Yeah.
What can I say?
One end is moo, the other milk.
Yeah.
Like,
gives you two things. Didn't think of the meat on the cow, but just gives you two things. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like playing around bovine ilk.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's his, personally, when I was studying for my SATs, I would actually look at poems in order to enhance my vocabulary.
Of course.
Because you are always tested in such a good way, and they would not only give you the meaning of words, but they would introduce words and sentences. So I don't know if anyone else did that when they were studying earlier, but I would do that.
Yeah.
And I think Ogden was notorious for making up his own words. Like he wouldn't let a rhyme go to waste because the word didn't exist in the English dictionary.
Yes.
Like he would create one.
That's right.
So, yeah.
I think there was a line when I was doing my research on him where, if a panther calls, don't anther.
Yes. So now we have a word. Today he'd be celebrated, right? Today he'd
he's
be celebrated.
Shakespeare of his own time.
He'd be celebrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Let's try another one. So, reflections on ice breaking. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Yeah. So you can eat all the custards, but hey, have a drink.
And there you have that rhyme, you know, so quick in succession there to give it the sound as well. It just has that sound of almost like tongue-in-cheek.
It is.
Very cheeky.
It is. And that's the wit, right? He's very cheeky. He just plays on, he peters on the edges, right?
He does. Yeah. Oh, excellent. I'm liking this. Consider the auk becoming extinct because he forgot how to fly and could only walk. Consider man, who may well become extinct because he forgot how to walk and learned how to fly before he thinked.
Now, that is one of my favorites.
I love all the twisting of the ideas and the parallelism and the you know, differences that we have. You know, he forgot how to fly and could only walk and then forgot how to walk, learned to fly before he thinked.
Yeah. Correct. So there's a step missing in there.
That's right.
But also, how many people know what an auk was, right?
Right.
So he has this way of actually introducing elements of the culture back into the culture.
Mm.
Like, and that's crafty in so few lines. So when I first read it, I had to go look up what an auk was. I had to look, you know, so I'm saying he's really, really good about making us aware of our surroundings. So the immediate things around us. And I love the line before he thinks, right?
Yeah.
He's learned how to think. Because it tells us the threat that we have in thinking that progress is just this point A to point B, but maybe there's a step in the middle that we need to consider.
Yeah. Is that where Auckland got its name?
Maybe. Maybe. Ha ha. I didn't think of that.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Got to do some research on
that. I think
now.
We must.
Yeah.
No, that's excellent. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Introduces us to an idea, and then we have to figure out more.
That's correct.
What is this related to?
Yeah.
Oh, this has a resonance to it. So it's not just. It's not just humor for humor's sake, in a way.
It's humor for homework.
Humor for homework.
That's what I always saw him. I always saw him as humor for homework.
Yeah.
You know, I would go away and have to do work.
Yeah.
But thank you, Ogden, for that.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, making us more wise. Crossing the border. Census begins and middle age ends. The day your descendants outnumber your friends.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, just brilliant.
There's little witticism, adages,
that's
aphorism.
Line when you start aging.
That's right. And you're like, oh, look around me.
Yeah. That's when you start aging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like it. Yep. And this one, old man. People expect old men to die. They do not really mourn old men. Old men are different. People look at them with eyes that wonder when. People watch with unshocked eyes, but the old men know when an old man dies. Oh.
I just call him clever.
He's clever. Very clever.
Call him very clever.
Yeah. He sounds like, and I think in my research, he would work in advertising.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
That's what I thought.
He did. And if you think about, he also worked on Broadway, so he was a lyricist.
Oh, wow.
On Broadway.
Yeah.
And so you could see the creative elements coming out, but it's the ability, and that's why I kind of like the comedic aspects to it. So can you imagine being a writer for a comedy show? Ogden would have been the guy who started it all.
Oh, definitely. Those one-liners.
Just one-liners.
He
just thinks
those one-liners.
He thinks of the popular culture at the time, and that's it. This is what I need to bring to their attention. But there's so much behind that.
Yeah.
There's so much behind that that it actually gives you homework to do.
Yeah.
Right? It gets you to think way beyond what is the message in the line. There is a hidden.
It's like a sophisticated humor.
It is.
Yeah.
He's quite sophisticated.
Yeah.
Quite sophisticated about the way he does that.
But I bet he was dismissed a lot.
Possibly, because if you look at the different things he did in his career as a teacher, he sold bonds. That doesn't tell me someone who's been doing it all of his life.
Right.
You can see that his career was chop and change to some degree, which means that he would have had, you know, a challenge earning living during that period of time, which
he had to do
other things.
It wasn't necessarily valued.
It wasn't valued, probably. Today, it's valued more, I believe.
Definitely. Well, I'm sure there are people who are trying to live up to and emulate, if they can.
Me!
A Nashian style.
Me!
Yeah.
Like, I really, if I would say that there was a true hero for me, Ogden probably made me realize the value of poetry within our society.
Nice.
And it doesn't have to be a dissertation that is presented. It can be very short and sweet.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much. But does he only do short things?
No, he doesn't. So I have to tell you that the poem I'm going to read to you now, I've got to give you the backstory because I was asked to do select my favorite poem. And I was maybe in 9th and 10th grade, and we had to go research it and come back. And then we had to present it. We had to do a poetry reading. And if you can imagine, in 9th and 10th grade, most people are like, you know, eye on the page reading it. I decided that I was going to characterize this poem. And Ogden Nash is an American poet, but I saw him as an English poet. So
did you put on an accent?
I did an accent at all. I'm going to try to do it now. So in my very best English accent, let me try. So it's called A Song to be Sung by Fathers of Infant Female Children. Need my glasses for this one.
All right.
My heart leaps when I behold a rainbow in the sky. Contrawise, my blood runs cold when little boys go by. For little boys as little boys, no special hate I carry, but now and then they grow to men, and when they do, they marry. No matter how they tarry, eventually they marry. Like swine among the pearls, they marry little girls. Oh, somewhere, somewhere an infant plays with parents who feed and clothe him. Their lips are sticky with pride and praise, but I begin to loathe him. Yes, I loathe him with a loathing shameless. This child who to me is nameless, a bachelor child in his carriage, gives never a thought to marriage. But a person could hardly say knife before he will hunt him a wife. I never see an infant male a-sleeping in the sun without I turn a trifle pale and think, is he the one? Oh, first he'll want to crop his curls, then he'll want a pony, then he'll think of pretty girls and holy matrimony. A cat without a mouse, is he without a spouse? Oh, somewhere he bubbles bubbles of milk and quietly sucks on his thumb. His cheeks are rosy, painted on silk, and his teeth are tucked in his gum. But alas, the teeth will begin to grow, and the bubbles will cease to bubble. Given a score of years or so, the rose will turn to stubble. He'll sell a bond, he'll write a book, and in eyes will get the acquisitive look. And raging and ravenous for the kill, he'll boldly ask for the hand of Jill. This infant whose middle is diapered still will want to marry my daughter Jill. Oh, sweet be his slumber and moist his middle. My dreams are fair, are infanticidal. A fig for embryo, loathing grins. I'll open all of his safety pins. I'll pepper his powder and salt his bottle and give him a reading from Aristotle. Sand for his spinach I'll gladly bring, and Tabasco sauce for his teething ring. Then perhaps he'll struggle through fire and water to marry somebody else's daughter.
I love that. That is remarkable. Oh, what a great poem. Oh, and you can understand that sentiment, right? A father looking at their little girl going, mm-mm.
Exactly. Nope. I saw my father in him, and it helped me, like, with my relationship with my dad and the dating years. Like, yeah. This is what he must be thinking.
Yeah. I think there was a little bit of Nash in that poem, too, when he talks about sell a bond.
Yes.
And yes. What was the other one? Write a book.
Write a book.
Yeah.
So his own experiences.
His own experiences.
His own experiences. So I think there must be projection in this, right?
Yeah, I think so. A little bit. A little bit. But what a clever turn of phrase and a way that he can bring in humor, like the Tabasco sauce and the teething ring. And oh, so many little moments where I was tickled.
Yes.
It's, you know, you just feel...
It's
you can't
a pleasure.
Help but smile.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
And to read it is a pleasure.
Mm.
So
you
I
read it so
I,
well.
I can't read it without putting on
performing
this
it.
Performance,
yeah.
Right? Because it's so much a part of it. But, for me, you can see him. It's a six-month-old child, but we know what he's going to be, right?
That's right. Yeah, he's looking at this boy child going,
your hands
you're
off
gonna,
my daughter.
And talking about the rosy cheeks then
exactly.
turning to stubble.
Exactly.
Wow. Like, you saw the whole progression.
Yes.
Like, you saw this speaker's mind visualize the
every
maturation of this
person.
Of this young male child. And go, you're going to want to marry my Jill.
It's child.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
So where we're seeing the cute cherub, like,
yeah.
He's already seeing the predator coming after his daughter.
That's right.
And I loved, like, the introductions that he does, you know, a lot of common things that we have in our life, like you say, the Tabasco, the salt,
yeah.
The powder and all of that, Aristotle,
yes.
All of the things. He just brings them in to this play on words, he's so good at doing, you know?
So good.
He's so good at doing.
Yeah, I love that so much. And all throughout, there was the sound, of course, through the rhymes that were there. But there was also every now and then a sound, like an alliteration or
yes.
a sibilance that really
it
let
is.
You know how the speaker was feeling
yes.
about that moment. Yeah, just I really enjoyed that. Lots of anaphora, as we see there again. Yes. Just
which is remarkable. When I look at this as compared to a lot of the other things that he's done, like this is long-winded in comparison to a lot of the things that he's known for.
Yeah.
But could not shorten it.
No, you need all that.
You need because, all of it. It's
because
a lot of time.
The speaker is stewing on this possibility.
But
you
know?
So you need to see all of the thought process that's going into this kind of, I don't like that baby boy in that carriage there.
And it's a lifetime of this child that he's grown up, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, these are all the things I have to worry about. But yeah. So I remember my creative writing teacher saying to me, why the accent? I said, because I couldn't see it any other way.
Yeah.
I know he's American, but he should be English.
He should be British.
Should be English.
That's
right.
Yeah,
but it was
be.
Good. So...
Oh.
And I love Ogden's, you know, sort of pragmatic way of looking at society and thinking about all the things that irk us. Mm. And, you know.
Yeah. And some things are, quite a few of them that we read today were about age.
Yeah. Animals. He does a lot on animals.
Even crossing the border was kind of moving into... into
it's
the older
in
age.
Aging, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of crossing the bar when I set out to sea, you know, kind of thing. And these are things that people contemplate.
We do.
And that we ponder and we worry about. You
we
know,
do.
What's life going to be like in 10, 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
What's that going to look like? And Ogden puts that into poetry for us and makes us almost laugh at it. Like, of course
Correct.
It's going to happen.
Correct. You can, but it's a sense that... Don't fear it in a way. It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
Mm.
But come to terms with how it's going to happen for you.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's going to look different for everyone.
It's going to look different for everyone. And I think that messaging, and you could see maybe the ad style. I don't know if advertising came first and then the poetry came second. But I think that it's his way of making the almost, you know how... ads resonate with us, he's making the poem resonate with us in a special way.
That's
so
right.
As a daughter, I could see myself as a daughter in that. Imagine if I was a young man, you know, pursuing a young woman, I would see myself in that.
Yeah.
And I imagine, like, fathers would do
definitely.
That.
Oh, definitely.
And they just imagine mothers in the background going, what's going on? Why am I left out of this?
Yes.
kind of thing. But yeah, but he was certainly...
Oh, daddy's little girl.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know what I mean?
It
like,
is.
There is
it
a
is.
Special thing.
It is.
Yep.
And it was personal, right?
Yep.
I saw them in the ring. It was personal.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I think that... What he's done for me, and we talk about life inspired by poetry, is look at the things around you.
Yep.
Ponder what they may mean. But at the end of it, don't take it too seriously, right? At the end of it, the choices that we make are based on the fact that we've acknowledged these things are happening around us.
Mm.
And that we've got a choice to make.
Yeah. In some ways, poetry is just a way of seeing.
It is.
You know? And there's different ways of seeing.
Yeah.
You know, there's the real serious contemplative stuff that we've chatted about in other podcasts. And then there's this more lighthearted, humorous stuff. And all are relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And discourse doesn't have to be all the serious end.
All academic.
Right. Mm. It doesn't have to be that. Maybe the discourse is more an inclusive conversation at which we can see it at all angles. So, you know, I head to poems for that.
Yeah.
If I need a sanity check, I go look for a poem.
Yeah, good.
Because I tend to get it from that. I tend to get it. And certainly my worldview is strongly shaped by poetry more than anything else.
It's a grounding.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is. But the thing that resonates most with me is that your identity is sometimes in this weird, has this weird tension about you and the greater society.
Yeah.
And poets, I think, have a good way for me of getting me to know who I am and be assured of who I am and be comfortable with that.
Mm. And Ogden helped
and
you with
Ogden.
That.
Ogden was the crafter of all things. And the thing I loved best about him is don't be afraid to make up your own words.
Yes, that's right.
Like, why spoil a rhyme because the dictionary doesn't have the word in it?
I can make my own word rhyme.
And I love that. Yeah. And he would make deliberate errors in spelling, which we do now. Like, yeah. I think of his influence on the culture, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but today, think about social media. No word is spelled the way it was ever intended to spell. Mm. And I think about, well, maybe the grandfather of that was actually Ogden Nash. Mm. Don't know for certain, but it seems to me to correlate that he came before that, and he would do that deliberately, and now we do that as normal. Mm. That is a normal state of play. And yet no one would go back and give him credit for that. But I think that he's probably the person who really did that effortlessly and deliberately. And because he was so much part of the culture in terms of the advertising, right, and the poetry that he wrote, that it was subliminal to some degree.
It'd be interesting to see, because I know that Lewis Carroll made up a lot of words, and words that now have become words that we use. Burbled.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if Ogden Nash has some as well.
Yeah. And it would be interesting to see how much credit they get for it.
Yeah, of course.
Because I think that they become commonplace, but people don't know the origins of it.
Yeah.
And I like to know the origins of it. I like to go back and look.
Etymologies.
It is.
I love the etymologies.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much
words
so.
Words change over time.
But you see, like, in it has so much more to that it's contributing than probably that is being recognized.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much for opening my eyes to all that Ogden has to offer us. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the journey with me.
No problem. I hope, listeners, that you enjoyed it too. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And be sure to tune into our next podcast, where we're going to look at more poems and poetry that has inspired us and continues to resonate in our lives.
Agree. And give a bit of gift of poetry this holiday season.
That's right. Give it away.
Give it away.
That's
give it away.
For.
Use it. Talk to people about it, whatever you do. Like, I look at his work and I always think of a line that I can just repeat over and over again. And like I said, I'm writing my Christmas cards this year, and you're going to get a bit of Ogden.
Yay. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Nah.
All right. Thanks so much, TV. And thank you for joining.
Thanks, Jenna. Bye-bye.
We'll see you. Bye.